Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. John Saxper here, your host here at Revival Now. Just want to get started here with this dynamic teaching that God has given me. One of the things that this part of this series that I've been doing, it's called Breakout. It's about challenging everybody to get up and get out and do the work of ministry, how God has called each and every one of us to the fivefold ministry. Today's message that I'm going to do is called Hijackers and Church Splitters. It's about how to avoid them and what their motives are and the impure motives that they have of trying to split up with somebody else's church. You don't go tearing down somebody else just to build yourself up, for one. That is the wrong attitude. It's the wrong way to do about it. You've got to have the mindset of Christ in this. That's not of God. To sit there and try to take over or try to rip apart something because you're not getting your way. That's something that you have, basically you've made an enemy with God when you've done this. I'm going to start out, if you'll go with me and you'll open your Bibles with me. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 10. This is the word of God. I love it. It speaks truth. Because God is nothing but truth. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I mean, we're dealing with so much stuff in the body of Christ nowadays. It saddens you to know that people are that destructive. That people are out for that much. Out to benefit themselves versus benefit the kingdom of God to the point where they have to go and destroy somebody else. I mean, it's saddening. Now beseech you, brethren, in verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. That you all speak the same thing. And that there are no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me that you, my brethren, which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you, I say if I am a Paul, or I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you say that I had baptized you in my own name. And I had I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, and I do not know whether I baptize any other. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ shall be made of none effect. Basically, he's saying here, Stop splitting straws. Stop splitting hairs. Stop getting angry and trying to split up something that God instituted. When you're splitting up God's church, you're splitting up His family. And when you're splitting up His family, you cause an offense in the hearts of man. You're creating an offense in people, and that's never any good. One of the things I've noticed in past years is I've seen where people in the church get upset and they see the past, they get rebuked instead of for something that they were really dealing with, versus using the wisdom that God created for them to use. They get in the flesh and they get all offended and they want to leave. They go ahead and they leave, and when they leave, they don't just go up to another, quietly leave and go to another church. If they're disagreeing, you just go to another church. Amen. No, they gather people around. They start backbiting the pastor, start telling a bunch of false rumors, false lies. Try to get everybody all in their court, so that when they get up and leave, that they get to go out and divide up with the house that God has basically established for them. You don't have any right to split up a house of God. When you causing a church split, you are creating something bad. You're not creating nothing that's God breathed. You're creating an Ishmael. It will always go. It'll go up in smoke. It will never prosper. That thing will never flourish to anything. It will stay the same because the mindset in the heart, from the heart that it was created. It was man created, man established, man. It's the work, basically the work of the flesh. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come, they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they leap to them. To themselves, teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto the fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions to do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and at the time departure is at hand. I mean, people, he's saying this. Look, God's saying this part here. Look, the time is short and the days are few. We're running at the midnight hour, church. There's no time for doing this stuff. You got to get free from it. I mean, if you're having a problem with a pastor, you need to sit down and talk with that pastor. Have a nice conversation with him. Don't get angry and sit there and try to work out your differences. You know, my pastors have always been there. And I've always trusted them, and I have no reason to go against what they say. You know, there was a couple things that in the past, I mean, even in recent, where they changed things up, and they decided to have different things, have different people do those things, and you know what? I was thank God for those things, that they had somebody do, at least the job's getting done. I mean, we've got to have a different mentality. We've got to have a new mindset. We have to have the mindset of Christ in this. That is not the mind of Christ to sit there and go ahead and cause a church split and bash somebody because you've got to have things your own way. You've got to do things the way you want to do it. It's not going to be the pastor's way to do it. When really the pastor is who God ordained to be over that house. It's not your place to tell him what to do. You're not the Holy Spirit. You're not the presence of God. You're not Lord. You're not Father God. You're not Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't die on the cross to leave you in charge. That's just simple as that. When you go out, you're going after somebody else's ministry like that. That somebody worked hard to build. They poured in their sacrifices. You're just basically taking their sacrifice before God and just making it meaningless. That is the most heartbreaking thing for somebody to do. And I mean, I've had it done myself too. And it's never any good. It's never any fun. I mean, the jealousy has got to stop. I mean, you got these other clowns that are out there too. They think that they got to hijack every ministry out there. They think that they got to hijack the church, that they don't like what the path they come in there. And once they get their foot in the door, they look around and they see that they have to correct the pastor because they don't like what's going on. So they're gonna play big shot. So they walk around, and they walk around, start bullying leadership, start pushing people around, start pushing their way, like that. What they have to say is more ordained of God than with the pastor that was ordained to run the thing to begin with. You don't have that kind of right. I mean, you don't have that kind of say, you know, to sit there and go go tear somebody else down because you're not getting your way about things, and you want to try to bully them and dominate them. I mean, there's too much jealousy in the church. Jealousy is witchcraft, basically. It's basically trying to gain control to get your own way. That's not how the kingdom of God works. We are one united ministry. We're not separate individual ministries. I'm so sick of hearing about that. Or how people make superstars out of preachers, where only certain preachers can do the work of ministry. That's a load of crap if I ever heard it in my life. I mean, come on. We're to reach the entire lost and dying world, and we're only going to do it with a handful of preachers? Give me a break. I mean, back to my subject. People who hijack other ministries, they'll sit there and they'll hover over that person that God has called to lead that thing, and they'll sit there and try to and slowly start taking this over, start doing this. They're dominating that, and they're getting into this, and they get people against them. Oh, and then they'll start backbite, get people to start backbiting the person and getting other people to gossip against them. Then the Bible talks about that in itself. I mean, let's face it, people who are doing this stuff is not in good standing with God. You cannot sit there and tear somebody else's work down to build yourself up. Yet it's not a kingdom builder. That does not benefit the kingdom of God one bit. And you to discredit the kingdom of God like that is so wrong on so many levels. We've got to be builders of the kingdom of God. We've got to step up to the plate and say what is right and what is wrong. What is wrong is taking over another church, taking over somebody else's ministry, telling them how to they should be doing it, because they feel like they got to play boss. That they're that insecure and they gotta have that type of a security, they need to hit that altar. Whenever that goes for anybody, even with church splitters, people who want to split churches and ministries, you need to hit that altar and make good use of it, because you're gonna need it. You don't tear somebody apart like that. That's not how God operates. You're going about it the wrong way. If you sit there and you go out, you sit there and you take somebody, for instance, people like attack Joel Osteen all the time. I mean, give me a break. Oh, well, I'm going to show him how to do this, and we're going to show him this and that. You ain't going to show nobody nothing, Jack. You ain't nothing. I mean, you walk around, and it's mainly the people that do this stuff are people that are insecure, and they got superiority issues. They think their superiority over everyone, and they walk around like they can do better. I'm going to tell you something, too, while I'm at it. My pastor and his wife took over from my pastor, Rick Shelton. And the one thing I'm not going to let anybody do is let somebody come in there and think that they can just take over and just sit there and bash them because they're not doing what they think that they should be doing. That's not going to happen. That don't fly with me. I'm sorry. You will get told on the spot. Don't talk about my pastors like that. Don't talk about my pastors like that. Don't try to take over what they're doing. Don't try to hijack the call on their life because you think you know more, which you don't. Don't bash my pastors. I am not going to tolerate that. My pastor has said to step in a big pair of shoes. He's had a big pair of shoes to fill when it comes down to it. When you break it down to it, he's had a big shoes to fill and he's got a big weight to carry on his shoulders. Do not bash my pastors. I will not tolerate it. You don't have to agree, but you have to keep it to your, you need to keep it to yourself. People will go around and say, well, I'm entitled to my own opinion. I'm entitled to my own opinion. You are not entitled to your own opinion. I'm sorry. The Bible calls somebody who worships their opinion a fool. So if you're worshiping your own opinion, you're a fool. You know what a fool is? With the Bible, with the definition, I studied this up. The definition is of a fool is one who lacks the fear of the Lord. If you're that, if you have that lack, that much lack of the fear of the Lord, you need to hit that altar. You have authority issues. You have problems with dealing with that. That is a God-given authority on that man's life. You sit there and you bash a pastor. You are causing problems in between you and God. You need to get it right. You need to go get it corrected. If you have that much of an insecurity and you don't like having to deal with authority, the authority of the Holy Ghost, you got problems. You lack the fear of the Lord. Basically, when it's also calling you calling the person a non-believer. A non-believer is the one who sits there, is the one who doesn't, who lacks the fear of the Lord, and just, they live like God doesn't exist. They live like God is just somebody that's just not really that significant. So they're just going to sit there and they're going to act because they don't want their superiority to be brought down. So they'll bring other people down who God placed in authority, so they can feel like that they're superior. This is not about superiority of man. This is about sacrifice. This is about crucifying yourself. Being born again is not about gain, about what you accumulate in your life. People are always accumulating, wanting to accumulate. They want to accumulate power, want to accumulate this, want to accumulate that. They want to build it up. They want to go to church, and all they want to do is accumulate it, and they don't pour it out. They just keep it, and they just let it all go stagnant and let it go to waste because they don't want nobody else having it. And if somebody else that's God-given comes along and they actually have a call in their life, they get jealous of that person because the fact is they think that they're taking something from them. They're not taking anything from them. It's the fact is that they're being convicted of their own lethargy. This is not a game. Christianity is not some game. It's not some sort of entertainment. It's not entertainment. It's that the house of God has been totally misrepresented in the past few decades. This is not entertainment. This is not about people being on top. It's about being on the bottom. If you want to be used in ministry, you got to be on the bottom. You got to go below. Ministry is not a promotion. I don't get where people think, the promotion, how's the promotion of God on your life? I'm like, this is not a promotion. This is not a promotion whatsoever. This is a demotion. You are demoted in life. When you become born again, you become demoted. Because the fact is that you cannot sit there and build yourself up like this. This is not about building yourself. It's about taking yourself and putting yourself on an altar and burning yourself away till there's nothing left. It's about burning yourself up till there's nothing left but Jesus. Then letting God resurrect those ashes. You gotta quit thinking that this Christianity, that building your faith up is about gaining. It's about gaining power, gaining this position, gaining the next step. That's all an illusion. It's a big illusion when people think that it's about gaining yourself. To live is to die, and die is gain. It means you got to be willing to sacrifice everything. You got to be able to sacrifice everything. People don't want to sacrifice nothing nowadays. I mean, it's like keeping up with the Kardashians mentality. It's not, I mean, even people are so hooked on reality TV that they don't even realize that reality TV isn't even reality. It's a scripted life. It's a scripted life that they're portraying in there that make people think that that's actually how these people live. I'm sorry, folks, life ain't perfect. It ain't a bowl of cherries. Life is rough. Life is 100% tough. The Bible says, tribulations you will have with you always. So, love the tribulations you're in. But as far as going in the house of God, when you're not in agreement with the pastor, quietly, if you feel like that you're not being fed right, or that's just not the place for you to be, don't tear the pastor down and don't try to get people against him. Just simply quietly and gracefully just say, and lovingly tell the pastor that you're just going to move on to another place. That you found someplace else to go to that helps grow you. If you feel like you've reached the ceiling in there, you know, ask Jesus to rip the roof off the place. To open it up so you can go up higher to him. I mean, what can I say? I'm rooted in my house. In the house that I'm in. And I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to let people tear my pastor apart. I'm not going to sit there and watch people tear my pastor apart because they're disagreeing because he's not going to be, you know what? I'm not my father. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that I'm not like him. And it's a good thing he's not like me. Because we're different people. God created us to be different. You know, Pastor Josh is going to have a different style than his father at times. And that's okay. And I'm overjoyed for that. As a matter of fact, when I see Pastor, I love watching God develop my pastor. He's doing a phenomenal job of orchestrating that church. Letting God orchestrate that church. He's doing exactly how his father did it. When he feels the presence of God coming, he lays back. He eases back off of it. He backs down off of it and lets the Holy Spirit move in. Yeah, he was nervous at first. Who isn't? If you would put me in that kind of place, with that kind of weight on me, I would probably freak out. I probably wouldn't know what to do. It ain't like preaching here. I mean, that is a totally different mantle. That's a totally different anointing to get up in there as a senior pastor with that kind of a weight on you. You carry the weight of that church nonstop, 24/7. That church is yours. That pastor is a pastor 24/7. You're a pastor of that church 24/7. Just like this ministry here, Saxbury International Revival Ministries and Revival Now with John Saxbury. This is my ministry 24/7. This is a 24/7, 365 days a week call. They said, well, what are you doing in your spare time? Well, I'm taking care of my daughter, and while I'm taking care of my daughter, I'm praying for the listeners and the viewers of this program. I'm praying for people all over the world, believing God for miracles and stuff, and having to pray for everybody. I don't know half the prayer requests that they need, but I'm interceding on their behalf. I'm constantly praying without ceasing. I mean, you don't understand. If you put this kind of weight, you know, this is not a game here. This is not an act. This is not an entertainment venue. This is about connecting with people's lives and to help create a change in their life. People have gotten the wrong idea with ministry. I mean, bringing entertainment into the church has been the worst thing you can possibly ever do. Let's entertain, let's not train people. Let's just give them a bunch of flashy lights and smoke machines and getting them to dance to worship music, what they call worship music. Some of it I've heard isn't even worship music. It's entertainment music. It's not really, you know, a worship song. When you're in that house of God, that is only for one thing, that's worship. And I do credit my pastors on that. They make that about worship. They make worship the key role, worship, praise and worship is like the key thing in that house that takes us into that place where a pastor has to go to minister. That anointing realm where he has to go to minister, and that where that presence of God is there, where the Shekinah glory is there, and you could just watch God just use him like an instrument, like it's almost like watching a conductor's wand. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever watched to see a pastor being developed from the ground up. And I'm glad, and I'm so proud to call Pastor Josh Shelton, Pastor Josh and Tori Shelton, my pastors. And I will never allow anybody to tear them down. And if you're going to tear them down, you're going to have to go through me. It's the way it goes. I'm not going to allow it. You know, I mean, and then these people, for these people who think that they're going to hijack something, that they got to get up on there and they got to take over because they don't really like how it's being done the right way. It's not up to you. You are not the boss. You're not the Holy Spirit. God never ordained you to dominate another minister. If you want to, if you feel like you want to do something, you want to do something in the kingdom of God, sacrifice everything you've got, lay everything on the line, lay it all down before God, and seek God and go out and start your own ministry from the ground up. Start from the nothing. I started this from the nothing. This was out of my mother-in-law's basement originally. God gave me a little bit of a dream. And now it's a global phenomenal. It's a global thing. It's exploded. It's all over the world. I mean, what preacher gets a spot on MSNBC podcast network? I mean, what preacher have you seen? None. It's because I let God create the favor. I don't go tearing down somebody else. I didn't go tearing down anybody else's ministry to start this. Yes, I was preaching before, and it got tore down. That's because it was selfish, out of selfishness. You get other people who do it. And I've seen other people, and I've seen in times past where people have tried to come in and tried to hijack the church. Where I go to church at, I go to Life Church. It used to be Life Christian Church years ago. And it was before it was Life Christian Center. But they people down through times past, and my pastor stood his ground. No, this is what God has called me to do. Pastor Rick, like, flat out told him, this is what God has ordained me to do, not you. If you don't like it, then move on down the road. And a lot of that's, I feel like I've been inspired by that so much, but that's how I feel now here. You don't like what I'm doing on this broadcast? Go do your own broadcast. Start your own broadcast. Don't go around trying to tear this thing down or tell me how I need to be doing it or what you think this ministry really is in your opinion. Your opinion does not matter. You're not entitled to it. I'm sorry. When you say you're entitled to your opinions, you're okaying every work of the flesh. You're saying that sin is okay. I mean, this is the same mindset that these people have that are out there to try to tear down other ministries. You're out to try to take what God never called you to do. Oh well, I could do it better. And when you put them up there, they can't. You put them up in that pulpit. I guarantee you that they couldn't get two words out edgewise. They wouldn't know what to do. They handed the mic to them. Said here's the weight. Put this and just put it on them for a day. They wouldn't last 2 seconds. So what makes you think you can just take over and just dominate whatever they do? You have no right doing that. I mean, who do these people think they are? You got to quit thinking that everything is yours. We do not own a thing. This all belongs to God. The earth is our Lord's and they're the fullness of. That means everything in the earth is God's. This broadcast is God's. This house is God's. My car belongs to God. My bicycle belongs to God. This set belongs to God. Everything here belongs to God. We're only here for only a certain amount of years. Think about that. Calculate that through your thick head. These pea-brained religious idiots that go around thinking that they can just, they don't like what the pastor's doing. So let's just tear it down. Let's just tear down what he worked hard to build. I mean, I had another friend of mine that was out of ministry for a little while, but God totally gave him the vision to write a new book called I Lead. It's by Pastor Mark Boer. Pastor Mark Boer is an amazing person. He's just, God is really, he's been through a lot of tribulation, but he's able to pull himself up and rise above. I mean, we do not have the power to tear down something that God has ordained somebody else to do. We don't have the right. That is not our place. I mean, you start tearing down. It's like walking in. It's like no different than walking into WWE. You go to World Wrestling Entertainment and you walk into Vince McMahon's office and you flop down in his desk chair. And you start calling people, getting people on the intercom, calling them into his office and start telling him, his people, what to do. I guarantee you're not going to last long there. They will have security on your rear end and have you out on the middle of the street in a heartbeat. That's if you even get anywhere near his office, because you got to go through security. Like, that place is locked tight with security. You can't even get in the elevator without a card, no less. So that's the same. That's the kind of brain. That's the kind of mindset that you were dealing with. That you cannot get. You understand how much more protected is a ministry with God that you're trying to tear down, or you're trying to split up somebody's church. You have no rights to that. I mean, seriously. I mean, we've got things have got to change in the church. People's attitudes towards leaders really sucks. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. People have got a poor attitude in the church, and they need to change. We got to change their attitude. Got to change up the way we do things. I mean, talking about, and then in 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. I mean, this is the stuff that we need to, that needs to be said. Well, the days, I just miss those days. I just really think that the church was really a good thing, and I hear it all the time from people. Oh, the church ain't what it used to be. The church is better than what it was ever. It's the best it's ever been. Who needs a bunch of cancerous people in the church trying to bring it down? They're nothing but a dead anchor. It's an anchor that don't go all the way down, and it don't grab on to nothing. It goes all the way down, but it's not holding on to nothing. The ship's still going. I mean, come on. You're not doing nothing. You're sitting in the church pew, not getting up and going out and winning anybody. But no, but you could sit there and tell other people how to win the lost over. You could sure sit there and tell somebody else what to do. But what are you doing? What are you doing for God? Oh, nothing. Well, then what are you telling somebody else how to do their job? Well, they said something to me they don't like. Well, it's called grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Be more mature. Stop walking around with your thumb stuck in your mouth and pouting every time the pastor don't say something you don't like. It's more likely you're just trying to push off your own convictions. Instead of learning from them, I mean, growing in the Lord and learning from your convictions. I thank God for the convictions of the Holy Spirit. I thank God that the Holy Spirit's there to unction me and tell me, and guide and direct me. I don't want to go where I'm not supposed to be. I don't want to go where I'm not with the presence of God. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. And I would rather drop dead than badmouth my pastor. I would rather have God strike me dead before I would bash my pastor. That is the most stupidest thing I could ever see anybody do. Bash their pastor. That is committing spiritual suicide on so many levels. I mean, that is the most stupidest thing I've ever seen somebody do. Get mad. Don't get their way. So let's just get a coup against him. Let's hijack his ministry. Let's try to take it over and try to bump him out. Oh, let's get the board involved here. Oh, you know, we're just not in agreement with what he's saying. I think we need to just do something about this. Like they're the mafia or something. They want to put some mob hit on their ministry because they don't want to grow up. They're too much of a baby. I mean, what kind of jackass just sits there and thinks that they can control the things of God? Yes, I said it. A jackass is an untrainable mule. It's an untrainable donkey. A donkey you cannot train. A donkey you cannot... they're just basically useless. They're untrainable. They're not... You can't... They serve no purpose but to just sit there and eat off the... Feed off the fat of the land. They just sit there and eat. And eat, and eat, and eat, and eat. You can't ride them, you can't work them. Normally, donkeys and mules and stuff are made for, like, pulling plows and stuff. A jackass just sits there, kind of just sits there. It doesn't do much work of anything. And that's basically what religious people have made themselves be. Because they want to try to tear somebody else down. They're untrainable. You can't tell them much what to do. You can't call them under correction. They reject wisdom. I mean, so they want to try to tell. So they want to try to cause a church split and drag people down with them. Just remember who the first person was that caused a church split. It was Satan. Yeah, he thought he could do. Idiot thought he could do better than what God was doing. So he thought, let us rise above the clouds. And God's like, yeah, okay. The lightning round, like what my buddy Larry Connor says on his broadcast on I ain't going to mention the name. I don't want to get in trouble with the network here. But he's got a broadcast and he's got a show called The Lightning Round where he speaks the truth and it sounds like a thunder or a lightning rod hitting. That's the lightning round. He got hit with the truth. He wasn't above God. He lost his place as the lead worship leader in heaven. Stupid move. Stupid move. Not good. Not a good thing on your best day. I'm going to finish this off here. I'm going to come to a close in just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. For you are carnal. For whereas there are among you that of jealousy and strife and divisions, and are you not carnal and not walk as men? For while I say if I am a Paul, and another said I am Apollos, and you are not carnal, who then is Paul and who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. As even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted Apollos, watered, but God gave the increase. Basically, you're taking the place of God. It's idolatry. When it boils down to it, you become an idol. You made a graven image of yourself. I mean, you basically... just crossed God out as Lord, is the Father of your life. You've crossed out Jesus as the Lord, and you've crossed out the Holy Spirit as the inspiration that breathes upon. They're not separate individual people, by the way. God does not divide it against himself, so he doesn't, division that he knows not. They're the fullness of each other, and they're all together and united as one. They're not individual peoples. I mean, I don't know what church has taught that, but their elevator doesn't go to the top floor. Their machine doesn't have all of its gears. They're not plumbing with all their fittings. Their porch light is on in nobody's home. Their cheeseburger is short of a happy meal. They're a couple wrestlers short of a wrestling match. Not good. Got to get rid of this stuff. I'm going to tell you something. If there are people who are listening to this broadcast and you're being convicted by it, I want you to pray with me right now. Say, Father God, I come to you to be forgiven of gossip, of preachers. I come to you to be forgiven of backbiting other preachers, of trying to tear somebody else's house down. I come to you to say that I've taken the call of God in vain and the things of God in vain. I turn my back on these things. Take out the heart, the stony heart, put on a heart of flesh. Father God, I repent for trying to tear down another man's calling. I repent for trying to hijack another man's ministry. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you forgive me, that I want to rededicate my life to you. And I thank you that your word says that if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, that I shall be saved. Holy, wash me with your blood. Holy Spirit, change my mouth. Holy Spirit, change my mind. Change my heart. Transform my entire being. I want to live for the things of God and not the things of man. I thank you, Lord, that I am now forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyway, well, I'm going to get going. This is a production of Saxbury International Revival Ministries. For more information on our ministry, please go to please email me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. God bless you, and thank you for watching, and thank you for listening.